So let's review. The Mishnah earlier discussed Kedushin with the stipulation a Menashe Yeshli Beis Kur offer, that he owns a certain amount of land. The Gemara now discusses another aspect of such a condition. Regarding Hekdesh, a sanctified field, the Mishnah states, Hamakdesh Sadeyu Bishasa Yevel, Naisin Bezerah Chaymer Sa'orim Chamishim Shekel Kasef. Land may be redeemed from Hekdesh at the fixed rate of 50 silver shekelim for a field the size of where one can plant a crop of 30 saw, which measures 75,000 square amas. Hoynukom am mukim asar tvachim, oislam gevoy masar tvachim, ein nimdadinima. Ditches and outcrops of stone that measure 10 tvachim are not included in this calculation. The Gemara explains, lo niktashu ba'apin nafshayu. They are not reckoned as a separate field either, because b'nekoyim aleim mayim askinan, delav b'nei zriyaninu. We're discussing ditches that are filled with water and are not suitable for planting, which are not redeemed at a fixed rate, but at market value. However, if they are b'nei zriya, the above halacha of redeeming it at a fixed rate does apply. However, regarding mecher, the sale of a field, the Mishnah states, ha'im alach aveir beis kor offer an e'mecher lach, someone sells a certain amount of land. Ditches or rocks that measure 10 tefachim do not contribute to the specified area of land. And the Gemara explains, Afa pisha ein malei amayim. This halach applies even if the ditches are b'nei zriya. Lafisha ein odem reitza, sheyitin es ma'isa besada achas, v'yer lari kishnayim u'kushleish mekaymas. Because no one wants to purchase land in separate tracts. Now, regarding Kedushin, where he stipulated, a Menashe Yeshli Beis Kur offer, the Gemara says, Mistabra lehekdesh medaminala. It's reasonable to assume that all B'nai Zriya, all arable land is included in the measurement he stipulated, because Amar La, Anot Terachna Vezerano Maisina, he can contend that he is willing to exert himself and work the uneven land. The next Mishnah discusses the proper formulation of a Tnai, a stipulation to a binding agreement. These requirements are derived from the stipulation articulated by Moshe Rabbeinu when they granted the area in Eivor HaYarden, the east side of the Yarden, to the B'nai Gad u'B'nai Reuven. The Pesukim there read as follows. V'yemim Moshe Aleim, im yavru b'nei God, b'nei Reuven eschem es hayarden, kol chulatz b'nesatim lehem es eretz hagilad l'achuza, v'im lo yavru chalutzim itzchem, v'nechzu b'seichem be'eretz Canaan. If they will cross the Yarden and assist in conquering Eretz Yisrael, they will receive their portion in Eivor HaYarden as requested. Otherwise, they will receive their portion in Eretz Yisrael. Zok the Mishnah. Remeir Oimer called Tanai, she'eni ketanai b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven, and a Tanai. Stipulations that are not comparable to Moshe Rabbeinu's stipulation are not effective. Shenema v'yema aleihem im yavru b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven, uchsiv v'im lo yavru chalutzim. The pasuk expresses both the possibility that they will and will not fulfill this condition. This teaches us, be'in a Tanai kafel, we require every stipulation to explicitly express both possible outcomes and their consequences, as follows. If the Tanai is fulfilled, the Maisa takes effect. But if the Tanai is not fulfilled, the Maisa is void, as in the Tanai B'nai Gad B'nai Reuven, Moshe Rabbeinu first stated Im Yavru, and then again Im Lo Yavru. Because Mechlal Hen, Iyat Rishmei Lav, we cannot infer from a conditional statement that its inverse is true as well. Rashi explains that if he does not express the condition in this way, Lo Yineskayim HaTanai V'Neskayim HaDvarim, the condition is invalid, and the condition stands regardless of whether the condition is fulfilled. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Tzarcha Dava La Omrei, She'el Moli Kein Yesh B'mashma Shafil B'Eretz Kenan Lo Yinchalo. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel disagrees with Rabbi Meir and holds, Ein Tzarch Lichval, we do not require every Tanai to be a dual stipulation. Rather, Mechlal Hein Nishmalav, we can infer from a conditional statement that its inverse is true as well. And we cannot derive a requirement of Tanai Kalfel from B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven, because Moshe had a particular need to mention both possibilities. Because otherwise we would have inferred that by not fulfilling the condition, they would be penalized and would lose their portion in Eretz Yisrael as well. Furthermore, if the pasuk would only say, V'im lo yavru b'neichsu b'seichichem, specifying that if they do not fulfill the condition, they would inherit instead in your midst, we might have understood it to mean, V'neichsu b'seichichem b'eretz gilad, av'l eretz kanan kla loy, they will receive an equal portion of Eivor HaYarden among all others, but they will not receive any portion in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the additional phrase Be'eretz Canaan grants them a portion in Eretz Yisrael, even if they would not fulfill the condition. However, Remeir maintains, The term in your midst already includes all areas conquered by Klal Yisrael, all of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the superfluous phrase Be'eretz Kanan teaches Tanai Kafel. Rashi adds, As Tanya Kafel Luchudei Polik. Reb Chanina only disagrees with the requirement of dual stipulation as he explained, but he agrees with other requirements also derived from there. Tanai Kain Lamaisa. The condition must be mentioned before stating the action and not in the reverse, as in the Tanai B'nai Garamnei Reuven. Moshe Rabbeinu first stated the Tanai of Im Yavru and afterward the Maisa of Unasatim. Hein Kodem Lalav. The possibility of a positive outcome must be expressed first, and only afterwards the possibility of not fulfilling the condition, as in the Tanai B'nai Garamnei Reuven. Moshe first stated the Kiyama Tanai of Im Yavru and afterward reiterated the Bitla Tanai of Im Lo Yavru. The Gemara concludes this discussion with various psukim that seem to use a Tanai Kafel, and one case, that of Parsha Saita, which apparently states only one side of the Tanai, and explains them all according to both Reb Meir and Reb Chanina.